Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Locker Talk with host Barry Barnes on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you guys can hear about NFL stars of tomorrow. Today, I'm your proud host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. I hope that everyone is having themselves a good day in the weather, with their homes, with their family, considering what the crisis that this country is still continuing to go through. But I believe, and always on a hopeful side, that everything will change really soon. But as long as we continue to obey by the laws of the land, then we get past this situation with the COVID-19. And if you guys have any questions and you want to reach out to me any way directly, you can reach out to me on Twitter at Locker_Report, on Facebook, LockerReport.com, and the Locker Talk Podcast, Instagram, LockerReport100, all small caps. Or you simply shoot me an email via Barry Barnes at locker-report.com. That's been pretty much the popular source in contact going through via email. Well, considering that football is still somewhat on the schedule, which is good news for myself, you know, it's just hoping that everything works out in general for all things. But when it turns of the NFL, hopefully, considering what's going on, that everything will continue to stay on schedule. And right now it appears that it is. And with that being said, in 2 weeks from now will be the 2020 NFL draft. Now, knowing that this year is going to be a little different, they're still putting things in place right now where it's going to be a virtual draft. They're still putting a whole bunch of stuff together. So that news should be completely released, at least going until late next week. However, with the vein of the NFL that I cover, dealing with the NFL Regional Combine, most of the players that come through that platform don't get drafted anyway. Normally, you probably have one or two. Last year, we had one player that got drafted by way of the NFL Regional Combine. That was Cole McCombs, who played for the Washington Redskins, who was drafted in the fifth round, is now their starting middle linebacker. So he was drafted coming through the process last year. Now, every year normally, like I said, a lot of guys don't get drafted, but a lot of guys that come through the platform normally get that phone call following the draft. So that part of the NFL draft does not affect what goes on with the NFL Regional Combine and also the players to talk about. Now, moving forward towards the draft itself, dealing with the players that came through that would have come through the NFL Regional Combine and this year's HBCU Combine, considering what had happened, both those workouts was canceled. However, they still on the radar in getting their phone call or getting a camp invite. So it's not totally wiped out. The only thing is, as far as being mentioned, being talked about, because they're not big-name guys and been pretty much overlooked, the chances of these guys actually having their name called out or talked about or highlighted, normally at this this juncture of the stage, leading up to the draft, most of it is by self or by the agency who they're being represented by, or sometimes their school. So everything falls with the players is normally generated by themselves or people within their camp and really don't have major outlets to really talk about them. Well, here at Locker-Report.com, although we're small, but we don't look at ourselves as being small. We look at ourselves as a major outlet. You know, you got to see what you are instead of being or seeing where you are. You got to see where you're going than looking at where you are. So that's the way I look at, well, Locker-Report, with my publication, look at this publication as being a big, mega, giant publication that's going to get this information out for the whole world to hear. And thanks to my listeners, y'all guys help provide that truth each and every week. And today we're going to focus on some offensive players by way of the HBCU combine workouts. Some of these players here were invited for the workout, and since they came through the vein of the NFL football operations that I cover diligently, it would be wrong to not be able to talk about these guys, all because I didn't get a chance to see these guys work out in person. However, there's video that's out there. There's content that is out there. More so video instead of content. I really don't go by what everyone else may write about certain players. You know, I know you have a lot of outlets that will talk to anyone and interview anyone, but I'm very selective because I know that NFL teams are not going to just jump on certain sites that they're not familiar with, or if they are familiar with, they're not going to just talk about anyone. I want to try to establish credibility with locker-report.com, and I believe so that I was able to credibility and use the, I would say, the influence that I do have in the right way, so that when I do mention players to watch out for, that the credibility of this publication will be viable, and that the real NFL decision makers will pay attention to help give these guys a serious look because of what was established through locker-report.com. So to use the influences that I have, I definitely want to highlight some offensive players today leading up to the NFL draft. Now, some of these players I actually gave a draft grade for because I believe that some of these guys, not many of them, they are draftable players. They are what I consider draft-worthy players. And I will have these articles out within the coming days where you guys can go to locker-report.com to really get into more information of the players who I deem and tag are either NFL-worthy or team-worthy. I know last year I talked about notables, certain guys, you know, notables. None of those guys made it. None of those guys got a phone call. So I'm going to be even more stringent this year and taking my time and making sure that I nail it right, because I want to make sure that the information that I provide, that those who make the decisions where it counts within NFL teams can really consider and recognize that the work was put in and that it's just not just, I would say, a fan page of just putting names out there just to appease the masses. That's not what Locker Dashboard is about, appease the masses. We were trying to appease those who can really help make a change and really, really help change the course and destiny for young men that work very, very hard to get to a certain place in their craft to be recognized on a professional level, to be able to help not only change the course of their destiny, but also their family, and also help to provide an inheritance for their children's children. So that's what I'm all about here at locker-report.com. And if you guys have any questions, you can always reach out to me directly via email at barrybarnes@locker-report.com, Twitter, locker-report, Instagram, LockerReport100, all small caps, and Facebook, LockerReport.com, and Locker Talk Podcast. Okay, everyone, we're going to jump right into it. We'll talk about some offensive players that was coming through the HBCU Combine, and although we did not have the workouts this year, there's still some guys out there that I believe that are worthy enough to be on an NFL team, or at least at some capacity get a camp invite. Then when they get to that camp, then it's on the players. But I want to be able to highlight some players who I think that deserve that opportunity. And first I'm going to start with one of the quarterbacks. And you probably already heard of this young man DeAndre Francois from Hamilton. This is the same quarterback that started his collegiate career with Florida State Seminoles and got off to a great freshman start, was actually considered the ACC Offensive Rookie of the Year, garnered a lot of attention on a national level, But when his second year, when the sophomore year, he got hurt in the Alabama game to start the season. That's when there was a tailspin, so far, I would say, far of his career going down with Florida State. And then he wound up trying to get into Florida. I believe it was Florida International, but he wound up going to Hamilton University, a very strong, proud HBCU amongst all the programs within the great institutions there. And he went to Hamilton, and I would say for the most part, he wasn't, when he was at Florida State, he was really erratic, you know, not as patient, really did not go through his progressions as well. But during his freshman year in Florida State, he started to really show it, started to show a lot of maturity, really show up a little bit more happy feet, so to speak. But as time went on and as he continued to improve his craft, by the time he got to Hamilton, a lot of things that he was dealing with when he was at Florida State, you know, he really wasn't dealing with in Hamilton. Now, considering the type of talent that he had to go up against at a major Division One compared to a HBCU, where it's not major Division One, but it is still considered a mid-major, still Division One, still has some talent that is there, a lot of talent that sometimes, you know, with players that may have the opportunity to go play at a powerhouse, but because of grades or whatever personal circumstances they had to deal with led them to signing with a HBCU school. But still, nonetheless, the quality of play is still different compared to playing at HBCU platform and compared to a major Division I powerhouse type talent like an ACC. But still with that being said, Francois still showed great maturity this year. And one of the things I like about his skill set is that he's definitely a play action quarterback, very strong, showed a lot of accuracy, have a good touch, have very mobile, athletic, reads defenses very well, and now he goes through his progressions. He can throw on the rope, hard to bring down, has good pocket presence, very intelligent, and can make all the NFL throws. He's very savvy, and he's very talented for his position. Now, he was one of the very few guys that I came across, I believe, from the HBCU platform that actually put together a virtual pro day. So I watched that virtual pro day thoroughly, watched it, you know, several times, and it was very interesting to watch and really break his game down. And one of the things that I did see through his pro day was that he displayed good twitch in his hips, meaning that when you're a quarterback, when you're throwing throwing the ball, especially on a professional level, you want to throw from your hips. It's not something that that's based off of arm strength. You want to make sure that you get your whole body in it so that when you twist and when you throw it with your arm motion, that everything comes out so you get fluency on the ball, good velocity on the ball, and deliver the pass the way it needs to be thrown, especially in the NFL. So I saw that. You know, he got off the ball quickly. He threw his passes open, and he did have good velocity on his passes. He was consistent with the deep ball. There were some balls that he thrown that kind of led the receivers out of bounds, so you got to work on that touch just a little bit. But for the most part, he did show consistency with that. There was a few passes that had sailed high, but most cases, all his passes had good timing. Had great feet in the pocket, solid mechanics in the pocket, which is very critical. And including his 5'7" drop backs, he had good spacing inside his pocket. And he did show an NFL arm strength with good anticipation. So that was his breakdown through his pro day virtual workout that he put together with his camp, with his team, and everything. So that was great, I would say, great on his part to really show his how committed he is, how he took the reins in his hands. And although the combine workout for the HBCU would have been phenomenal for him, he still took the bull by the horns and went out and put it on a workout, a showcase for NFL teams to see, to show that He's a different Francois than he was when he was Florida State in the freshman year. We're going to take a quick pause. We're going to come back. We're going to get into some more offensive guys for you guys to look out for and hopefully hear that phone ring after the draft. You listen to Locker Talk on the news, on the Bachelor News Radio Network.
Hey, this is L.A. Bachelor reminding you, if you're looking for real discussion on sports, politics, religion, and other topics, you need to join us on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern at WCOMFM.org, on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. at blogtalkradio.com/LA-Bachelor, and on Thursdays at the same web address. Follow us on Facebook at Pad Nation, on Twitter, Pad Nation, the number 2, at Twitter, LinkedIn, and you can email us with your requests, your comments, your concerns, anything you want at our email address at labachelor with a T, BATCHELOR 40 at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Pad Nation, Instagram, and of course, if you miss any part of our broadcast, make sure you go to thebachelorpadnetwork.com and listen and enjoy the Bachelor Pad.
All right, welcome back to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. And you guys can always reach out to me directly on Twitter at Locker_Report, Facebook, LockerReport.com, and Locker Talk Podcast on Instagram, LockerReport100, all small caps. And you can shoot me an email via email at BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. Okay, talking about some players from, if you're just turning in, talk about some HBCU players that would have came through the HBCU combine, but it was canceled. It was canceled due to the coronavirus pandemic that we're going through right now in the country. So that was canceled. However, players still going to get an opportunity, hopefully. And the whole thing is to be able to highlight certain players who I believe that deserve a shot in the NFL, whether being draft worthy or team worthy. And if you just joined, I just got finished talking about DeAndre Francois, quarterback from Hamilton. I broke down his skill set as to why I think that he's definitely going to be a player, a candidate for the NFL. Now, as far as rounds, I actually have him as a draftable prospect. I actually have him labeled anywhere in the mid fifth round to the seventh round. That's where I actually see him being drafted around that area in the draft. The teams-wise, I really believe that he would fit pretty much with any team in the AFC West except for Kansas City Chiefs, any team in the AFC South except for the Houston Texans, because both those teams have their quarterbacks. And as far as individual teams, I see him in a good spot with the Miami Dolphins, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I really believe that they will be the landing spots, spots that would be good for him. And according to his skill set, and all the players who I mentioned, according to their skill set, doing my research, doing homework, I think these are the places, the locations, where they should be able to succeed. So that is Francois. Now, offensive lineman, Latavius Simmons from Tennessee State. This offensive lineman, I tell you, this guy is legit. He's very, very explosive off the ball, athletic, fast, elite speed for his position. I like to label him as being really filthy. I mean, he's really nasty, really mean inside the trenches. He has great lateral movement, powerful, great feet, very versatile. Other than playing the center, he has played in every position on the offensive line. So he can play your guard, your left guard, left tackle, right tackle. He's very, very, fluent on the offensive line and can play multiple positions on the offensive line except for the center position. He has strong hands, and he's practically unbeatable one-on-one. So I actually have him sitting at being a 6'5", 334 pounds. I actually have him anywhere between the fourth round and the seventh round. I really believe that this young man is definitely a draftable player. And the teams that I actually see him at, and with our offensive linemen, offensive lineman can go pretty much, you know, to any team or be viable for every team. But still, in some regards, you have some offensive linemen that does better pass blocking. You have some that does better that do better in run blocking. But as far as with this young man, I really see him with any team in the AFC North, any team in the NFC West, any team in the NFC South. As far as individual teams, the Green Bay Packers, the New England Patriots, Denver Broncos, Los Angeles Chargers, and the Las Vegas Raiders. As those teams try to shore up their offensive lines, you know, a little better. Now, running back-wise, Deshaun Waller from Alcorn State. 5'11", 209 pounds, very solid size-wise for the NFL. I really, with him, he has great feet and awareness. He has bounce. He has excellent stop, start, and go abilities, meaning that when he hit the hole or if he see pressure coming, and while he's running, he can stop on the dime, start back up, and then pick up and accelerate with the same speed that he had before he made that quick stop. So that's what it means by a good stop, start, and go, that he don't lose the speed that he had prior to him bringing a quick cut or shooting the gap or trying to hesitate to get around a defensive player. He's not going to lose that speed after he stopped. Sometimes you have players that have good speed, and then as soon as they stop, that momentum they have, all of a sudden, the startup is like a major wind-up for them to actually get back to that speed that they had prior to them stopping. He has no problem with picking up with that speed. He has patience. He hit the hole quickly. He does not hesitate. His feet is always moving, very balanced, uses blockers very well, good vision, can go the distance. So when he gets out into open field, he is gone. You're not going to catch him from behind. Great stamina, very elusive. The only thing is, early this season, he sustained an injury after the eighth game of the season. And so it kind of fell off the radar with that. But I'm sure that he's healthy, ready to go. I was really looking forward to seeing him go one-on-one at the combine. It didn't happen, but I'm looking forward more in seeing him in the NFL. Now, I actually have him projected anywhere between the 5th to 7th round being drafted. And the teams that he'll fit on with any team in the NFC West, any AFC North or South squad. You know, so I see him there was, and as far as teams wise, individual, I really see him anywhere with the Atlanta Falcons or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I see that's where it would be some good landing spots according to his skill set. Now, another running back, Taylor Porter from Arkansas Pine Bluff, 5'10, 185 pounds. You could put some more weight on. But his skill set, really good. I think he's really shifty, has great feet. Another player that is really good with stop, start, and go. Very excellent in that capacity, which is very important in the NFL. He's very strong. He's tough. He's agile, good balance, quick. He has elite speed for the position. He's another player that's difficult to bring down, and he protects the ball very well. He keeps the ball high to his chest, makes sure that it's really guarded. And he's very dangerous in the open field. Catch him in the open field one-on-one, chances are 10 times out of 10, the defender is not going to bring him down. And he has excellent vision, and he will be a monster for the screen game because of his vision. So he can catch very well out the backfield. I actually have him anywhere between the 6th and 7th round being drafted. The teams that he will fit in with, because he is a physical player, you got to be physical to play in the AFC North. And the AFC North is pretty much screaming for good running backs because you really don't even see anything. You got mixing with the Cincinnati Bengals. But other than that, there's no real good running backs in that division. So they need some good running backs. I think that he will fit in that division. Any team in the AFC West, except for the Denver Broncos, they set there, knowing that they got having Melvin Gordon there and Lindsey. Although I feel bad for Lindsey. I think Lindsey can really carry the load for that team. But that's another story for another show. And as far as individual teams, I think that he'll be a good fit for the Chicago Bears and the Arizona Cardinals. So they're the landing spots that I have for him. Now, another player, this guy, I'm telling you, he is exciting to watch. Another player from Tennessee State, his name is Chris Rowland. Chris Rowland, 5'8", 175 pounds. But this kid is completely electric. Very shift, breakaway speed, great vision, good feet and hands. His awareness is crazy. And in traffic, he is outstanding in traffic. You talk about bobbing and weaving through defenders. His skill set is crazy in that capacity. Very balanced, has control. Dangerous out the backfield as a wide receiver. Very key. That's what the league is moving for. He will fit. He can play the slot. He can split them out. And in the return game, he's a solid punt and return guy. And he will translate very well, seamlessly, into the NFL. I have him projected in the fifth to the seventh round. I'm expecting to hear this young man's name called. He can fit with any NFC North squad, any NFC South squad. Particular teams that he will fit in as well would be the Los Angeles Rams and, believe it or not, the New York Jets. I think that he'll fit in that capacity to help free up my man Vincent Smith, who came through the regional combine platform, and let him concentrate on kickoff returns and getting him more active with the wide receiver core. But this guy here, Chris Rowland, he is legit. He is the real deal. Two more players before we sign off for the day. Running back and return specialist, and also can play wide receiver, Jimmy Robinson from Bethune-Cookman. This young man, he's another player that is a return specialist, a solid return specialist, where I would probably see him more as in the NFL. He has playmaking potential on every touch, very explosive, quick, has balance and control. He, too, has elite breakaway speed. He's not easy to bring down. He may be on the small side, but he is not easy to bring down. He's very strong, especially in his legs. Great in the open field, good hands, great feet, very savvy, confident, and he's very emotional. He's definitely an emotional kid. I see him anywhere with the NFC West squad and the AFC and NFC East squad. And as far as individual teams, the Atlanta Falcons, Minnesota Vikings, and the Indianapolis Colts, I can see him at one of those teams and really excel. And knowing those teams definitely need some help on special teams, falls in their return game, absolutely. Now, the last player, far as draftable talent, is for another player in Tennessee State, which is pretty loaded, you know, in my opinion. And their wide receiver, Steven Newborn. This kid is very elusive, very electric. He's not only athletic, but he's more like on the acrobatic side. He has a good stop, start, and go, really great in that area. His plant and go is pretty good, too, because he can stop on a dime and just take off. They're pretty much almost the same. The only thing is the stop, start, and go. You're normally in a stop, start, and go situation for, I would say, about a second. With a plant and go, that's more like of a half a second, that you pivot with one foot and then you take off. Stop, go, and that's what he had. Stop, start, and go is more near a left, right, and then take off. Plant and go, one pivot, gone. So when you have your stop, start, and go, it's normally two steps, left or right. Plant and go is one step and burst. He has both of those capabilities there. He has great concentration, balance, great vision and awareness. The best part about him is that when he catches the ball, he rarely let the ball touch his body. That separates an NFL player from anyone else. You may be a good receiver, and you may catch a lot of passes, but if you rely on the ball touching your body, you will not make it in the NFL. He's one of those guys that actually catch the ball with his hands and do not allow the ball to touch his body. That would eliminate a lot of players that was coming through the NFC, that would have come through the NFL Regional Combine and the HBCU Combine. Excellent speed, great breakaway talent, and he's great in space and very agile. He can fit with any team in the NFC and AFC South, any team in the AFC West, and any team in the NFC South in the NFL. So these are the guys that I look at towards being draftable. Make sure you check out locker-report.com in the next coming days. Y'all have a whole list of the other players, even ones that's team worthy that I did not mention in the show. Thank you for tuning in to Locker Talk today. Next week, we're going to talk about the defensive players that are draftable for the NFL. We're going to break down some good players there on defense. Make sure you guys tune in to see who they are. You guys can always reach out to me directly on Twitter at Locker_Report, Facebook, LockReport.com, and Locker Talk Podcast. You also can reach out to me on Instagram, LockReport100, all small caps, or shoot me an email via at BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. Thank you for tuning in on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you can hear us from all kinds of places now on TuneIn, also Pro Airtime. Make sure you check out the site as well, where you find out great content, where we cover everything in the world of news as far as entertainment, social matters, religion, politics. We all have it all covered here at the Bachelor News Radio Network. Everyone stay blessed. Talk to you next week.
Can you tell us about your daily show, Gossip on the Go with Flo?
It consists. I'm on a little better than 20 radio stations around the country. I'm syndicated by Super Radio, and it consists of 3 stories every day. And I write a radio feed, and then I record a show every single day, Monday through Friday, and send it out. And I'm live on 4 stations.
That's a lot of work, yeah. Flo.
I know it's a lot of work. I'm busy over here. It's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work. And how long has that show been on?
Since 1996.
Wow. That's a testimony within itself.
I've hung in there through the test of time.
Yeah, because I know you were on WDKX Radio 103.9 up in Rochester, New York.
I'm on there every single morning on the Wake Up Club.
You're on the Wake Up Club with this guy, with Tariq and them.
Uh-huh, with Tariq and DJ Rain, yeah. Psych, yep.
Now, you have any hot news you want to share with us?
Well, today, stories I did 50 Cent. He's dating this girl. Her Instagram handle, and I had the story up, but I had the feed up, but I was, I can find it here. I was working on tomorrow's story, tomorrow's feed, but I have to look at this because I can't remember everything I write all day. But he took this girl, to the Power premiere. Today's December 4th, right?
Yep.
Let me scroll down to December the 4th so I can tell you her Instagram handle and then her real name. She's actually an aspiring attorney and personal trainer. Okay, here we go. Her Instagram handle is Cuban Link, but her real name is Jamira Haynes. But they just recently, nobody knew too much about her, but they just recently, Thanksgiving weekend, some pictures of them got released on her Instagram, and they were in an exotic location by a pool. There were a lot of palm trees around. And then I did another couple story about Winnie Harlow and Formula One driver Lewis Hamilton. They were at the British Fashion Awards the other night, and, you know, Janet Jackson presented Rihanna with an award there.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah. And the last one was NeNe Leakes was down in Florida at this drag queen spot, and these people thought she was this drag queen named Tiffany Fantasia. but then they found out it was NeNe, they weren't mad either. Everybody wanted a selfie. So those are the 3 stories I did today.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. So you enjoy that? You enjoy the daily?
Oh, I love my radio show. I love it so much.
Mm. What is your opinion of the Formula One driver? He's very internationally known, but here in the States, he's relatively unknown here in the U.S. But he's big time overseas, and
he's hot. He dates all the hot women. I mean,
yeah.
One time he was dating Nicole Scherzinger. I think he might have even dated Rihanna at one
he
point.
He did.
He's all over the place.
That's when I first heard of him, when he was dating Rihanna, and I looked him up. And gosh, this guy has been doing his thing over there. Do you think he'll ever be popular here in the States?
Well, I think as he dates more American women that you know, people get to know. It's my business to know everybody, so I followed him for years.
Right.
And this whole thing with him and Winnie Harlow is not anything new. They were first spotted together 3 years ago in 2016, but he denied then that they were dating. Then they were seen together again in 2017, then again in 2018, and then Monday night. So obviously something happening over there.
Right.
You know?
I guess he could get away with denying it overseas, I guess, but not, yeah.
Yeah, but no, you know, 4 years later, you're still hanging out together. I think something's happening. Get it together, Lewis. Get it together.
Yes, indeed. Because he keeps winning on the Formula One circuit.
He's some kind of a race car driver. And you know the thing with 50, you know, I mean, 50 gets on my nerves because he gets up in the morning and figures out who he's gonna mess with that day. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is his job every day to make somebody miserable, in my opinion. But he seems to like. I hope he's nice to his sister because, please, he is a terror.
Wow. Did you cover his relationship with Vivica Fox?
Yeah, I covered it. You know, that's my main girl, Viv. I covered it.
Okay.
In fact, I did a story last year in the Daily News about she had him in the book, and he tweeted out he had to wake up this morning. He used expletives. It's not a story. Oh, 50-50-50.
That's something else.
Now, if I was to ask you, Flo, your top three entertainment interviews over your great career, who would you say and why?
They're going to surprise you. The first one is Sylvester Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was, you know, a young junior flip. And he talked about the challenges of life. I think it's when he did that soccer movie. I got a chance to interview him. I can't think of the name of it. With L.A. This was a long time ago, back in the late 70s, maybe early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he talked about how everything in life was a challenge. And so I went home to Michigan and I had the tape and showed it to my mother. My mother said, you know, you really need to listen to what that man is saying to you. And so that's always stuck in my mind. After that, you know, anytime you get to talk to Michael Jackson, it's got to be Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Any interview with him has always been great. And I had the opportunity to take Inside Edition on the set of, what is the song?
Thriller?
No. It was a song. Spike directed the video.
Scream?
No, I was at the Scream video too, but Spike didn't direct that. It's on the tip of my tongue. You Don't Really Care About Us.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah. And that, you know, he gave me that opportunity. He said, whatever they pay you, just keep it. You know, you negotiate with them. So he gave me that type of opportunity and that kind of entree. And yes, I also was on the set of Scream with he and Janet. So, and I'm just trying to think of this third one that, I don't know, I've loved them all a lot, that I think, I don't know, maybe any time I talk to Spike, because he always has revelations and is highly intelligent.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you were one of the few people that knew about Michael's love triangle with Debbie Rowe and Lisa Marie Presley, right?
I was there.
Tell us about that.
I went to London with Michael, and he flew Debbie out of there, and then the next day he flew Lisa Marie in there. I was there.
Oh, okay.
I saw that with my own two Eagle Eyes.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that play out in the media and everything?
Well, you know, I don't know how it played out in the media. We all did, but I don't think they went as crazy about it. I mean, I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just couldn't believe it, that he was macking like that. It was just unbelievable to me.
Yeah. It's...
Because he said, you know, he played such a nice guy.
Right.
Yeah, right. He's more like, he's probably most like his father. They think it's Jermaine, but it's probably, it's really him.
Mm-hmm.
Really was him.
Mm. Now, he's been mischaractered tremendously over the years, you know, especially before his transition. Why do people hate on celebrities and athletes the way that they do, but then at one point you're cheering for them, and then they turn on them in such a way over innuendo?
Well,
and
I think with MJ, what people didn't, you know, people didn't understand when his skin color changed, which is when he died and that autopsy report came out that said he had vitiligo. I was so happy.
Right.
That it said that, because he did have vitiligo, and he had the wherewithal and the resources to go ahead and change his skin. You can't get it, you know, back brown.
Mm-hmm.
He had the resources to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And people thought he was just doing it because he wanted to look white, but he truly had vitiligo.
Right.
I mean, you look at a Winnie Harlow, she does very well with that vitiligo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm. Now, who are your top three sports interviews?
Oh, God, that's a loaded question because all my friends are athletes.
Mm.
I gotta say Michael Spinks. I have to put him number one.
Right.
But I've talked to everybody. I mean, I can't give a top three of sports interviews.
Mm.
I guess you would have to say Ali because he was the greatest. And then, I've talked to so many people. I mean, I have to even put Bill Cosby in top interviews. I used to talk to him for hours.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He used to just sometimes call me. You know, Wynton Marcellus used to sometimes just call me. You know, and we're still very close. I can't give you a top three of athletes.
Well, why don't I rephrase it?
I've just talked to so many people.
I know that you're so fond of Michael Spinks. What type of person is Michael Spinks? And do you think he'll ever get his true credit and what they did for boxing, especially that 1976
Olympic
class.
Team.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's Michael Spinks. You know, is you know, my favorite person in the world, and he's a wonderful, wonderful person, and you know, he's very quiet. He's very well spoken. He's very kind. He's just terrific.
Hmm.
I can't say enough about how wonderful he is.
Mm. And he's your favorite sports interview, obviously.
Yeah, I talk to him every day, though, several times a day.
Mm-hmm.
But back I think I first met him about 83.
Mm.
And so it was always, you know, a very good interview.
I wanted to tell you something, too, about O.J. Simpson. Did you know Mr. Wilson, when he was living, since O.J. left the Buffalo Bills, he would not allow number 32 to be issued to any player. And he never formally retired it, but he would not allow, 32 was not worn in the city of Buffalo on the Buffalo Bills team since 1977.
And it shouldn't be, because
right.
Nobody was as great as
right.
He is. And OJ's always been a good interview, too. I can't say who was a better interview than the other person was in the interview, because, you know, I've liked them all, and
mm.
I've interviewed everybody.
And
you know, there's very few people that I have not interviewed. The only person that I wanted to interview, I never interviewed, was Jackie Onassis.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
You know, I'm just saying, everybody else I've pretty much, you know.
Did you come close to interviewing her?
Not really, because she didn't too much give them, but I've been in her presence.
Mm.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
what I wanted to tell you, Flo, was that the head coach
and
now
I'd like to interview Meghan Markle. I'd like to do that.
Oh, okay. Well, what I wanted to tell you was that head coach Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills, he issued number 32 this year after 40 years to a backup player, Sanaris Perry. And special teams.
Terrible.
That's what I wrote an article about it, had a petition out, but, you know, these people do whatever they want to these days, and they issued number 32 to basically a backup player for the Buffalo Bills, which I think is absolutely terrible.
Awful. Yeah.
Yeah, because
I agree.
It just shows you, unfortunately, the ignorance of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wanted to ask you also, Flo, how do you see the New York print media? You've been the Daily News, New York Post. How do you see the print media, and how do you basically see how it's viewed today in this modern age?
Well, the New York Post is still real popular. The Daily News online, of course, sells much better than the Daily News print. And a part of that is because the Daily News is now part of a conglomerate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Trunk bought it, and they own LA Times, Chicago Sun-Times, Sacramento Bee, quite a few papers around the Miami Herald. And so that's part of the problem there. I think they even print in Chicago.
Mm.
Yeah, they don't print in New York anymore. People are not picking up newspapers and buying them as they once did. They're buying them online, and that's not a good thing because you still get more inside of the print newspaper than you get online.
Mm. You certainly do, and I notice a lot of people now, you're seeing people say they see it online, but they're really not reading the paper. They may read one article or...
There you go. So you're missing a lot.
Yeah.
When you don't actually pick up the newspaper.
Mm. Do you think that will ever change back, or do you?
I'm hoping it will, because now kids need glasses more because they're on devices and online.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that people will start to pick up books and to pick up magazines and to pick up newspapers.
Mm.
Yeah, I actually working in the newspaper industry. Starting to see people, younger people, starting to look at newspapers a little more than in the past, because on those phones and remember those Kindles was out for a little while? People just weren't able to read the information, to garner the information.
No, I agree with you. You get much more in the regular newspaper and magazines, you know? And then you can easier go back and reference things, too.
Exactly.
Now, Flo, you also like horse racing. How did you get into that?
I always liked horses, but my father couldn't afford one, so I didn't have a horse. But I've always been fascinated with them. And then I started going to the Kentucky Derby because one of the characters in my book is Vance Dumas, who's a black jockey.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, his horse Wildin' Out ages out of being able to compete because, you know, those are two-year-olds. And so then he gets an all-black polo team.
Mm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, I wanted to ask you, too, who was Rona Barrett?
She was the first real gossip columnist. When I was a kid coming up, she was on TV, and I'm going to tell you a story. But she had Rona Barrett. She's on TV. She had the magazine, Rona Barrett's Hollywood, little blonde lady. Mm-hmm. And she was who originally was doing all those interviews. Like one time I was a kid, her and she was interviewing Cher, and they were in the bed, and they had on these fabulous peignoirs. And she was the one doing all those celebrity interviews, and then ABC took it away from her and gave it to Barbara Walters.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, that's what happened?
Yeah, sure she's totally retired by now, but she, her latter life, she sold real estate out there in Los Angeles.
Mm.
And when I was a little kid, they used to call me the Black Rona Barrett. My
right,
grandma
right.
Jean did.
Mm. Now, you also worked with Joan Rivers?
Yes, she was like my aunt. I was, I started my TV career on the Joan Rivers show.
Mm.
And was on there for the duration. I think she ran 3 or 4 seasons.
Hmm. Wow. It is a remarkable and outstanding career. You are one of my favorite people.
You guys are too much.
I'm always posting our picture on Facebook.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was at the Miami Super Bowl.
Yeah, thank you so much. If were you in Atlanta last year?
Yes, I was. Yeah, I was right on Radio
okay.
World.
You didn't take a picture?
No, I didn't see you.
Oh, I was in the media center a lot.
I was right on Radio Row, but I was working.
Oh, you know what? I didn't go over to Radio Row, though. No. I hang out in the lounge because, you know, I can really kind of do my work in there.
Right. Well, you're going to have to come by Radio Row this mm-hmm. year. George and I will be there. We're going to be streaming on multiple media.
But I was over there sometime because, you know, they had a lot of stuff in the middle
right.
of everything.
Right. Yeah.
Were you there when they brought in Patrick Mahomes?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was over
well,
there with
yeah,
the Old Spice booth. We
yes,
were.
I was right there.
Yeah, we were to the right of the Old Spice booth towards the middle section there.
And over there where they had that little mini golf thing, I kept trying
right.
to win
yeah.
stuff. I wasn't winning.
Yeah, me
when
either.
I couldn't
win that golf thing either. I tried that.
We
one.
Weren't far from the Fox booth either. Fox Sports was over to the left.
Okay, because you had to walk past Radio Row to get in and out of there.
Absolutely. Yep. We were there.
Oh,
I was rocking
right,
and rolling. I interviewed Les Brown that day, George
oh,
and myself.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of good interviews that day, but we'll be streaming from Miami the whole week, so you're going to have to make sure that you come by and spend some time with us.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Now, when is your novel coming out?
You know what? I don't have a date. I'm hoping Christmas 2020.
Mm.
It's okay. Yeah, because it's a Christmas novel, so probably like September 2020.
Now, do you sit down and just take notes when you get an inspiration or write?
No, the book just kind of, and this one's not rocking and rolling out of me the way the others did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's taking it. And then I'm also very busy, you know, a lot busier now than I was before. So it'll get done, though.
You know, I had another question for you, too. I know you went to Howard University. Did you play
yes.
any role in journalism at Howard?
No, I didn't. I was at that time. I took a break from being a writer and was attempting to be an actress. I was in the School of Fine Arts.
Gotcha.
So I really didn't work for the Hilltop or anything like that.
Oh, okay. Now, what year were you at Howard?
You don't need to know.
Now, I was asking because you know my dad taught there.
Who? I know your father.
No, I don't know if you know him. He taught there from 66 to 70.
Oh, no, I didn't get that. No, I
didn't
think
so.
No, I came after that.
Okay, because we were down there for a funeral. Dr. Leon Butler had passed. His funeral was there. And while we were there, we went by my father's old laboratory area in Thurkill Hall. And somebody had known my father, and they ended up giving my mother, who's now... I won't say her age, but she's proud mm-hmm. of being up there. They gave her a posthumous award for my father when we were there.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It was. Very touching. And you know, the hills mm-hmm. there, we kind of had to wait, you know, because we didn't want my mother climbing up all those hills in that area. So.
Yeah, those. You know what? I was at homecoming 2 years ago. It was my sorority's anniversary. And so they have that tailgate down, and I was up and down that hill. I was like, you know, I was in the College of Fine Arts. I didn't walk up and down this daggone hill 40 years ago, so why am I up and down this hill all day?
Right, right. Howard is very hilly. It has some hills.
I'm like,
there.
This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. So what are your plans with down our last 3 minutes? Do you have any plans this week that you can talk to us about that you're working on?
When I finish with you guys, I got to write tomorrow's radio feed. And then Michael Sinks will be here Friday. He's giving out toys, the Friars Club on Saturday. So that's kind of my weekend. And then next week, I have a very busy week. I have a bunch of Christmas stuff.
Mm.
You know, things almost every day I have some holiday activities.
Are you going to watch the fight Saturday?
Now that's Caressa's Shields fight.
No, that's the rematch with Anthony Joshua.
Oh, Anthony Joshua and Ruiz.
Right.
From Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's Saturday night.
Right. Yeah. Sometime Saturday.
If it was if it was Friday night, I guess Mike, he would go somewhere and try to see it. But I'll be at my house. He'd be back in Wilmington. I don't think I'm going to get it on Saturday.
Okay. But
well, no, Saturday during the day, we're giving out toys and stuff. So I doubt that. We got things to do.
Okay.
But I don't know. Who you think's going to win, Anthony Joshua?
I think so.
Then is he and Deontay will finally fight?
They need to.
Yeah, they really need to.
Yeah,
you know,
this is ridiculous.
It is. Yeah. They don't make the fights when these guys are in their prime like, you know, it used to be. And
that's the problem with boxing today. They don't seem to have the
match. But the heavyweight division is picked up, you know, because we've been, you know, they've been flying Mike out as a, you know, heavyweight legend.
Mm.
So, you know, it's picked up in the last couple of years.
Oh, that's good.
It truly has, in my opinion.
Mm.
Yes, and you see it's starting to make that comeback, and hopefully you'll get some more fights back on regular TV and be able to garner the up-and-coming fighters.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. Because it's boxing is coming back. You know, the UFC had kind of pushed it asunder, but it's coming back.
Well, I want you to do us a favor, Miss Anthony. Please tell Michael Spinks that we respect and honor his career. He's one of the finest fighters I've ever seen. He was a class act.
Greatest light heavyweight ever.
No
Undisputed.
Question about it. Great,
Undefeated.
Great fights. Great, great fights.
Yes.
And you
not
are
a bad heavyweight. So.
Yep. And you're one of my favorite people. You have to promise me you have to stop by and see us at the Super Bowl. We'll be there.
I will certainly do that. I will not forget.
Please don't. I mean, it's a great pleasure.
And I love Miami, so.
Yes, indeed. Wonderful place to have a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
It is. And I, you know where else I used to like the Super Bowl? Well, New Orleans.
New
course,
Orleans.
But it's changed so much.
Right.
Because I used to think the owners should all just chip in and have it in New Orleans every year.
Absolutely.
But San Diego wasn't a bad place for the Super Bowl either. The weather was beautiful. The city was beautiful. It was very nice.
Yes, it was. The stadium was awful, but...
That's why
they're not in the
stadium.
Exactly. Paul Tagliabue said that. He said, we're not coming back here unless you get another stadium.
Super Bowl is no team.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But it was a pleasure having you on.
Thank you so much.
I hope you come back. I know you're very busy. I appreciate you taking time
with
us.
Oh, you can have me back anytime. I love to run my mouth.
Oh, we'd love to have you.
I'll be in trouble with NABJ. I'll be in trouble with the Me Too movement. I'm just going to be in trouble.
All right. Take care of yourself.
All right. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday.
Take care.
You too.
Thank you for tuning in.
I just want to make a brief comment to get back to the discussion about the health disparities in the African-American community, because it really is very important. And the reason I want to bring it up, because I couldn't help sitting there reflecting about sometimes when you're in the middle of a crisis like we are now with the coronavirus, it really does have ultimately shine a very bright light on some of the real weaknesses and foibles in our society. And as some of you know, the greater proportion of my professional career has been defined by HIV/AIDS. And if you go back then, during that period of time when there was extraordinary stigma, particularly against the gay community, and it was only when the world realized how the gay community responded to this outbreak with incredible courage and dignity and strength and activism, that I think that really changed some of the stigma against the gay community, very much so. I see a similarity here because health disparities have always existed for the African American community. But here again, with the crisis, how it's shining a bright light on how unacceptable that is. Because yet again, when you have a situation like the coronavirus, they are suffering disproportionately. As Dr. Berg said correctly, it's not that they're getting infected more often, it's that when they do get infected, their underlying medical conditions, the diabetes, the hypertension, the obesity, the asthma, those are the kind of things that wind them up in the ICU and ultimately give them a higher death rate. So when all this is over, and as we said, it will end, we will get over coronavirus, but there will still be health disparities, which we really do need to address in the African-American community. Thanks.